You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. Our associate pastor is Father Steve Gira. And now, enjoy the podcast.
My grandmother always wore a dress. And not only did she always wear a dress, every one she wore, she made. And I recall as a kid growing up that we would go, when I was staying with her, sometimes to this department store, a small department store in her neighborhood. And she would go into this section where they had these big cabinets, file kind of cabinets. She'd pull them open and begin looking through these envelopes that contained dress patterns. Then she'd pull it out and look at the picture on the front, put it back, pull out another one, and finally she would make up her mind which ones she would like. And she'd bring it home, and then I remember seeing when she'd open it up and put out these thin kind of papers with the lines on it, lay out the material she had bought to go for the dress, and cut according to that pattern. Now, the idea was, of course, that in the end, you had a dress that looked something like the picture on the front of that envelope with the pattern in it. Not identical, because she might pick a different color, or it might be slightly different with different buttons or whatever, but it certainly would be recognizable to that picture on the front, because she followed the pattern. What is the pattern for our lives? What are we to do with the material of our lives, and how are we to cut and shape that material that we are, so that in the end, we follow that pattern? We will end up with something recognizable to the picture on the front of the pattern. The picture on the front of the pattern is, of course, the image of Jesus, the Christ. He is the pattern, the one we are in the end to look like. We hear the question Jesus asks today. It's a curious question. Who do people say that I am? Jesus asks. Who do people say that I am? Did you ever do that? It's a little bit of a tough one for us, actually, because we are very used to our individualistic approach to living. We know who we are, and we don't want anyone telling us who we are. We can do fine on our own, thank you very much. But for Jesus and his first century Mediterranean culture, it was quite different. And this is where we have a little problem quite understanding what Jesus is after here in this passage. Because for his culture, one wasn't defined as an individual apart, uniquely their own, but they were defined, each person, in the context of that community. So the question Jesus asks is a very real and important question that people would ask generally. Who do others say that I am? That I need to know how you see me, because you will help me to know what I am to be. Who do you say that I am, he asks, and what are the answers he gets? Well, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or another prophet. Jesus begins to understand himself. Remember, as fully human, he is growing in his awareness of who he is and what he's called to be. And he hears people saying to him, "We see in you a prophet." A prophet. One who speaks for God. And then Peter gives his answer, which is the next step beyond that even. I see you as the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one who is, if you will, the prophet among all the prophets, because not only will you speak for God, but you are God. You are God. And Jesus, in hearing this, begins to grow ever more deeply in his identity as the Christ and his mission as the Christ. So here is the pattern, then, that Jesus begins to understand and begins to live out in his life as we see it unfold in the passages of the gospel. We see who is the Christ? Who is this prophet who speaks for God? What is God's word that is spoken through him? The pattern is, here is one who reaches out to the lowly, to those who are ostracized. Here is one who desires healing for those in need, the sick and the suffering. Here is one who welcomes the outcast and the outsider. Here is one who speaks for those who have no voice. And as he does all these things, here is one who endures the rejection, who endures suffering. And here is one who, in the midst of the greatest suffering, reveals as prophet the word of God, "Father, forgive them. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." There, brothers and sisters, is the pattern. All of us who follow him must somehow end up not exactly like Jesus, but recognizable. Not identical. None of us can be Jesus identically, but we should be recognizable, should we not? And this is Peter, and this is Paul. The great figures, these giant figures that we have giant images of in our stained glass windows here way up in the front. Big figures. Very different. And yet the pattern is in evidence. They're not identical to each other at all. In fact, they were quite opposite in many ways and ended up in conflict with each other from time to time. But in the end, the pattern was there. For both Peter and Paul carried on that prophetic message, preaching the word, Peter to the Jewish community and Paul traveling widely to all the world, to all the Gentiles. Peter and Paul reaching out as Jesus did in that pattern of those who are in need, those who needed healing, those who needed forgiveness. There they were. And yes, the same pattern. We find that here is Peter in prison for what he believed. Sometimes he got out, but eventually he didn't. Paul, too, writes from prison, but knows his end is near. And like Jesus, that same pattern of giving one's life, Peter being actually crucified, albeit upside down because that was his request, not to be exalted in the image of Jesus being crucified upside, right side up, but no, upside down. And Paul, of course, being put to death as well for his faith. There's the pattern, and it continued through centuries and centuries, through countless others. Not identical, but recognizable. Comes down to us today as we celebrate this great feast, and we remember that the call to discipleship is a call to cut the material of our lives according to the pattern of Christ, so that we too become recognizable in these same very specific kinds of ways. Through a life of simplicity and service, through a life of outreach to those in need, through a life of compassionate caring, through a life of suffering rather than inflict suffering, and through a point in time where all of us embrace and accept our own death as a passage to the fullness of life. I remember when I was a kid, maybe kids still do this, but when we really wanted to challenge somebody, we used to say to them, "I dare you. I dare you to do it." Well, I have a little challenge, a little dare. I invite you to take Jesus. Because if we're honest and we reflect on it, we need the perceptions and the insight of others to know ourselves. We don't know ourselves in isolation. There's where Jesus' culture has it all over us. We come to learn and know ourselves from the feedback we get from others in our relationships. Haven't you grown because of what someone told you about yourself that you couldn't see in yourself? Who do you say that I am? It is a risk to ask such a question, and it is even more of a risk to listen to the answer. For some may want to share with us not only our strengths and our talents, which of course we would like to hear and have confirmed and realized, but they may also challenge us according to our weaknesses, according to the place in that pattern that's sort of weak and unclear. But remember, both Peter and Paul had their great weaknesses. And weaknesses never get in our way of being great disciples unless we want them to, unless we hold them up as obstacles. But no, Peter repented of his betrayal, and Paul as well. And they became these great figures. So ask someone, "Who do you say that I am?" And see if you might learn something more about yourself and how you are called to reflect that original pattern, that original image that is Christ our Lord. For it is that which we now celebrate at the Eucharist, the image of bread broken and a blood that is poured out, a life poured out. It is here that we see the pattern. We take that pattern and we take it home, and we ask for God's grace and strength that that pattern might be realized and seen in me.